This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The deep state, the Trump administration, the Epstein stuff. There's a lot to talk about tonight. Mike Cernovich joins us, CIA director going to jail, Savannah Hernandez, all that and more in a packed show on I'm Right. Okay, we are going to discuss the deep state here, politics, the Trump administration, and I'm going to get to the John Brennan stuff in just a moment, but there's something that happens to all of us. Happens to me, happens to you. Bubbles. We put ourselves into bubbles, don't we? Don't you do that? I know I do that. The second you have the financial freedom to move into the neighborhood you want to move into, you move there, don't you? Why do you want to move into that neighborhood? Because the people in that neighborhood share your values. The neighborhood is away from people you don't want to live around. You're putting yourself on purpose into a bubble. Washington, D.C. is a bubble. There's no way around it. Presidential administrations are definitely a bubble. You are surrounded by yes men, yes women. You know what the polls say, of course. And yes, you do talk to people, but even, let's say you're Donald Trump, actually. Donald Trump, how many people on the planet can Donald Trump sit down with and get a 100% open, honest conversation? How many people? Is there even one, do you think? Maybe his wife, or kids, or son? Everyone has an angle. He's the president of the United States. He's a billionaire. People get into bubbles. I believe right now there is a chance the Trump administration is trapped in some bubble thinking as it pertains to the Epstein stuff. The Epstein stuff we talked about yesterday. Remember, I told you, I think those dirty criminals in the government already destroyed most of the evidence. But all that aside, that's not the point. The point is people do care. People care deeply, and the people of this country, and we'll get to the CIA in a few, the people of this country, they believe, not wrongly, that the government agencies, FBI, CIA, they believe the government agencies have turned against them and now work against them. They believe, as I believe, government agencies cover up for powerful people like Jeffrey Epstein, and the people of this country are sick of it. Bringing in Pam Bondi, other people in the Trump administration, running to the camera all the time. We're going to deliver the Epstein stuff. There's stuff on my desk. Now you're telling people that finally a powerful person is going to be held to account. And now it seems as if the Trump administration just kind of wants to get rid of it. Here is Caroline Levitt.
The DOJ and FBI have now concluded there was no Jeffrey Epstein client list. What do you tell MAGA supporters who say they want anyone involved in Jeffrey Epstein's alleged crimes to be held accountable?
This administration wants anyone who has ever committed a crime to be held accountable. And I would argue this administration has done more to lock up bad guys than certainly the previous administration. They committed to an exhaustive investigation. That's what they did, and they provided the results of that. That's transparency.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the Attorney General was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars. They have an operation going on right now called Summer Heat, which has our murder rate trending in the lowest direction in United States history. Their emphasis on violent crime and locking up violent criminals has led to the arrest of 14,000 violent criminals.
Okay, let's be honest. That's evasive. That's changing the subject. It is. You know it is. I know it is. Hey, what's up with this Epstein stuff? Well, we got Operation Summer Heat. It's evasive. Trump was asked about it today and was clearly annoyed and essentially said, I mean, why can't we just move on?
Sure. Your memo and release yesterday on Jeffrey Epstein, it left some lingering mysteries. One of the biggest ones is whether he ever worked for a American or foreign intelligence agency. The former labor secretary, who was Miami U.S. attorney, Alex Acosta, he allegedly said that he did work for an intelligence agency. So could you resolve whether or not he did? And also, could you say why there was a minute missing from the jailhouse tape on the night set?
Yeah, sure.
Could I just interrupt for
sure.
a second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like.
It's evasive. To the people out there who rightly believe government agencies have been turned against them, certainly turned against the American right. That's not good enough. And I hope the Trump administration is feeling it. I believe they are feeling it now by statements they put out. They're feeling your anger. They're feeling your frustration. That's not good enough. Did Jeffrey Epstein work for the Central Intelligence Agency? Did the Central Intelligence Agency destroy evidence of his wrongdoing? Here was Mike Benz a little bit from last night's show.
Well, I think Epstein was working with the CIA in the early 1980s at the very start of his career after he left Bear Stearns. In 1981, right after leaving Bear Stearns, how does one get to be the financial bundler for the CIA's main illicit arms trafficker in the Middle East without having any scrutiny from the Central Intelligence Agency? The U.S. State Department personally made Jeffrey Epstein the tenant on the lease for the second largest residence in all of New York City. This residence was seized from the government of Iran as the U.S. was putting sanctions on it, and then personally leased out to Jeffrey Epstein. How do you have the State Department as your personal landlord? There is zero chance on God's green earth that there are no CIA files on this guy. And the fact that this Justice Department has effectively pointed us to the FBI when this is a CIA job is not a good look for transparency.
It looks bad. And so you remember what we talked about last night, what I believe. I believe there is no laid out client list that makes things clear because I believe the evil forces inside of the government destroyed it. The problem is you've had these people, the Pam Bondis, saying justice is coming, and now you come out and say, hey, let's move on. Why are we talking about this? There was a flood in Texas. That's not good enough for people who think the government has been turned against them, in particular organizations like the Central Intelligence Agency. Tulsi Gabbard, to her credit, is killing it. Tulsi Gabbard is out there now revealing things like CIA, then CIA Director Brennan and DNI Clapper, James Clapper, John Brennan, that they took the intelligence arms, remember, we have more than just one. There's CIA, NSA, all kinds of things. Took the intelligence apparatus of the United States of America that is there to gather intelligence on foreign countries, foreign enemies, conduct operations on foreign soil. That's the only thing it's chartered to do. And these filthy communists took our spy agencies and weaponized them against the president's political opponents. That is beyond horrifying, absolutely horrifying. If that is true, and we have every reason to believe that is true. And by the way, that's why you see John Brennan's big, fat, ugly, stupid face all over the TV whining about Tulsi Gabbard daily.
Clearly, Tulsi Gabbard has taken actions and made statements over the past several years that really raise serious questions about her common sense, her judgment, as well as her political sympathies. Cozying up to Putin as well as to meeting with Bashar Assad, I think really does show that she doesn't have the type of perspective that is needed for somebody who's going to head up these 18 intelligence agencies.
See, we have fallen so far with somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, who didn't have the background or experience and didn't have the commitment to the profession of intelligence that I think is so necessary.
That man could possibly be facing perjury charges right now because of all the lies he told. He's understandably worried about Tulsi Gabbard. But back to what we opened up with. If the files have been destroyed, you need to tell people the files have been destroyed. As I told you yesterday, that's what I believe. I don't think Pam Bondi has the files. I don't think they have it. I don't think Kash Patel ever laid his eyes on those files because I think they were put through the proverbial paper shredder long before they got there. If that's the case, you have to tell the American people that. You have to, as much as you can, open up the books. Don't be so trapped in the bubble that you think you can be asked about these things and change the subject or tell the American people to move on. We believe our government has turned against us. We've seen no evidence otherwise. And when we find out yet another powerful person is going to get, well, powerful people are going to get off scot-free with crimes they may or may not have committed, we don't know. It rubs us all the wrong way. Open the books, be honest, or you're going to suffer from the same lack of trust the others did. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Mike Cernovich is going to join us in a moment to discuss this Epstein stuff. What are his thoughts on everything? I have thoughts. I have thoughts about peer talk, about you putting your money where your morals are. You know, these cell phone companies are horrible. Did you know that, speaking of deep states, did you know that the big nasty ones, they work with the deep state? Did you know that? Giving out your information, did you know that? Did you know that PureTalk CEO walked the jungles of Vietnam? When PureTalk gives back, they don't give to Black Lives Matter, they give to veterans. You will pay less, you're on the exact same cell towers, so you're not sacrificing service. You don't need a new phone, they'll get you one if you want one. You don't need a new number, it's just better. Switch to PureTalk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
One of the questions, though, is whether the intelligence community is going after or somehow is trying to undercut by selective leaks the new president-elect. Let me just ask my question. Because former top intelligence officials have been bashing Mr. Trump for months.
I can tell you that the intelligence community is prepared to support the president-elect and the incoming team, as we have done throughout the course of our history. So there is no interest in undermining the president-elect and the national security team that's coming in.
Well, thank God. Here I was worried these people were going to be political. Joining me now, Sarah Westall, host of the wonderful Sarah Westall Show, an investigative journalist. Sarah, that is a load off my mind because I was worried this John Brennan guy might not be on the up and up.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's proven now, right? And it's all come out that he's a political animal, and they were fabricating documents. To what they did is they just came up with some narrative that they thought they could sell on the American public, and then they just dove right in. And
Can
I mean,
you
that's what the
lay this out for us because lay this out for us because a lot of people forget, you know, they remember Russian collusion. They remember that buzzword because it was all over the friggin' media forever. But they forget its origins and the role the intelligence community had and all this. Lay this out for us.
Well, they fabricated it, right? The famous Clinton dossier and paying for it and then fabricating this entire report and then putting it out into the media. What people need to understand is they came up with a narrative that they thought they could sell to the American people. And then they dug right in. And it didn't matter if there wasn't facts and there wasn't, you know, true information backing this. You had people like Rachel Maddow talking 24 hours a day. People were just salivating after, you know, getting this information. And they were creating this division in this country, trying to destroy Donald Trump's reputation. And they were doing a pretty good job within their political party, and they never let up. They were doing it day after day after day. And that's what people don't, you know, from the side that doesn't listen to that side of the media spectrum, didn't realize that these people were getting a steady stream of narratives to make you distrust the administration. And that's what their goal was. And they just kept nailing it day after day after day. And it was false information. And they were trying to make it seem like Trump was in bed with Putin. And then at the same time, they were painting Putin, which, you know, Putin is who Putin is, right? I'm not going to defend Putin. But they were, you know, painting him as this tyrant, dictator, communist, and then trying to paint Trump as this dictator, tyrant, not a communist as much, but this dictator, tyrant who wants him in office because he's, you know, their buddies. And so they were, it was an emotional tactic. And the problem is that they, the internet, it didn't work for a lot of people because the internet got different information out there to people and people didn't buy it. But so it wasn't, but it worked with their base. And it was the emotional tactic that they took that was so destructive. And, you know, evidence is coming out now. And the reason this is so important, it's one story that shows what they've been doing kind of along the way in different areas. And people need to understand that this is a tactic that they use to control people on an emotional level, and it works. So they keep doing it.
I think a lot of people forget, Sarah, about Barack Obama's hands on this. Hillary Clinton gets all the blame for it. And of course, there's plenty of blame to go around. But Hillary Clinton was not president of the United States of America when the intelligence agencies declared war on Donald Trump. Barack Obama was.
Well, Barack Obama famously changed the rules on his way out, sharing data across all intelligence agencies. And he, you know, famously had a wiretap in Donald Trump's facilities as they were planning their election. So there was deeper actions going on than just this Russian collusion story. The Russian collusion story is a big deal because it helps people understand the patterns of the games that they were playing. But, you know, as you say, Barack Obama is not innocent on this, and he was doing many more activities that I would like to see get to the bottom of. I mean, with Tulsi Gabbard, I like what Tulsi Gabbard's doing, trying to create more transparency as far as what the intelligence agencies were doing, putting people on lists. I mean, I think I was put on a list. My website was taken down by GoDaddy right before the election, GoDaddy's Federal Crimes Division. And I'm like, well, what the heck did I do? Nobody pointed to anything that I could do, I did. The employees at GoDaddy had no idea what I did. And they actually helped me get my domain back because they were like, this is not what we do. Who is the Federal Crimes Division? right? So they were targeting people all over the place. And I think that directly ties back to Obama and Brennan. And of course, they're directing blame to Hillary Clinton because she was the one that was running for president at that, you know, back in 2016. But 2020 was also, you know, that's when my website was taken down. I think that that whole apparatus was set up and they had so many entrenched deep staters in there that, you know, they're still unwinding what was set up in the Obama years.
Good grief. Okay, back to Brennan. We know that he's a dirty piece of trash, but did he do anything that can land him in jail? And I ask it because given the Epstein news and everything else, people have just about had it up to here with powerful people never going to jail. Little people go to jail, powerful people never go to jail. But I don't want to sell people a bill of goods. Can he go down for this?
Well, I mean, he's lying to the American public. The problem is the Smith-Mundt Act was changed in 2012, allowing them to do propaganda against the American people. I think the biggest lie is lying to Congress and withholding evidence when they ask for it. I think the crimes that will come out by doing a true investigation will show there's plenty of crime behind the scenes on what was going on. But I think you're going to have to do some deeper investigations to really flush out what, you know, what was going on and see where the crimes are. It's just like the Epstein files. Those of us that have done a lot of deep research knows that there was a blackmail operation going on. And the only way that you can get around it, you know, the Comey's daughter is an expert, you know, with the Puff Daddy. She represented Ghislaine Maxwell as well. They're experts at diverting the attention from the powerful players that are involved. And so the only way to really get to the details is to do a real investigation. John Mark Dugan, who is a friend of mine, he famously, MI6 tipped off the Times of London. This was back in like 2017 that John Mark Dugan had all the Epstein tapes, videos back in 2012. The investigators, he was storing stuff. He's in Palm Beach County and he was helping whistleblowers and he was storing the tapes, videos for the investigators in the Epstein trial. And he, another journalist went and watched these videos with them. And there was, I believe there was eight that they watched and then they decided this was too much for them. But there were underage girls, they believed looked like underage girls with powerful men in these videos. And I asked him, I was the first one to interview him on this. And I said, well, what's in those tapes? And that's what he told me. And I said, well, why don't you release these? And he goes, because they're going to, he has asylum in Russia. He's like, they're going to kill me. That's how he felt he was going to be taken out. And so what he did is he gave them out to 10 different people and has a dead man switch on him. He goes, but the FBI has all these videos. They have everything I have because I just stored what they gave me. And so he just felt like it wasn't his responsibility. I don't know. He says he has a family and things. But now he's probably sitting on probably a gold mine of information that everybody wants to get at. But they had these videos. Is that the client list? Or is that just the people who've been blackmailed? But they still slept with, you know, maybe they were told they were 18. I don't know. But that is the blackmail operation that was going on. So people are disgusted with all of this. They're disgusted that this is the mode of operations that these people operate in. You know, they blackmail and they coerce people. And so the more you can... The problem is you need good investigators that are going to actually uncover and get to the details. And so much of this evidence, depending on whether you're talking about Epstein or whether you're talking Russian collusion or you're talking about anything, as soon as there becomes like serious crimes, they do a pretty good job of getting rid of it. And that's where the problem lies. But you have to have serious investigators. And I think we can get to the bottom of this, especially the double-edged sword with surveillance is that we have the ability to get to this information. I just have Bill Binney on the show, who is the NSA whistleblower that actually is coming on my show tonight. And people have want to know who he is. There's a documentary made about him, A Good American. He was the Nicolas Cage character in the Snowden movie. He was Snowden's mentor. And he created this program called Thin Thread. And he was talking about how overnight we could have details on so many criminal activities. This is the double-edged sword of surveillance. And if they truly are doing the surveillance they claim they are doing, why don't you use it to take down the pedophiles and the criminals and all these people that are involved? Problem is, there are a lot of powerful people involved, and they don't want it to be used because it can be used to take them down. And if we had committed people that are really focused and laser focused on doing this, they could do it. That's my
Sarah,
assessment.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Come back soon. All right. We'll dig into this with Mike more in a moment. Before we do that, how do you feel? How do you sleep? How's your energy level? When I tell you about natural herbal supplements from Chalk, I'm talking about having you feel better all the time, every single day. That's what Chalk has done for me. I wouldn't tell you something I don't take myself every single day. Even when I travel, I now have one of those old man pill dispenser things now, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and mine has my male vitality stack in it. I won't go a weekend without mine. That's how much it has changed my life. I got an email last night from a 74-year-old man who said he'd been taking it for a year. Male vitality stack, went to his doctor. He's got the testosterone of 20-year-old. Natural herbal supplements. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Okay, so obviously Epstein's been on everybody's mind. We've been talking about it. I told you my thoughts on the whole thing. I think it's ugly. I think it stinks. I think a lot of evil government organizations destroyed evidence. And I don't think the Trump administration looks great trying to change the subject. But Mike Cernovich has played a critical role in bringing any of this to light. And I want to know what he thinks. You already know what I think. Joining me now, my friend, author and filmmaker, Mike Cernovich. Mike, the floor is yours, my friend.
I mean, what's to say, right? What's to say? You got Cash and Bongino, as good as it gets in there. Really, if you can't trust them, who can you trust? But you also have that weird hostage video they did where they look like their eyes were like saucers. You've never seen them look like that before. And you have Cash on Joe Rogan saying, hey, if people have things to tell us, call us up, but we're not going to re-victimize victims. And everybody's thinking, nobody is trying to get videos of the victims. Nobody's trying to get the victims' names. What are you talking about, right? It feels like you're in an argument with your wife. We don't want the names of the victims. We don't want the videos of the victims. We don't want to know anything about them. We want to know who was on the list or where the financial records were or why the search warrant application remains under seal, why James Comey's daughter seems to have her hands on every big case. The Puff Daddy case was torpedoed from what I can tell. Why charge someone with such horrific crimes if you can't prove the allegations? So either that was a mop-up operation or it was a completely unjust prosecution. And also Comey's daughter had the Ghislaine Maxwell case. It's like, brothers, this is what we're asking for here, okay? Let's stay on topic.
Mike, where do we assign blame for this? Because honestly, I talked about this a bit last night. It feels like maybe the Pam Bondis of the world, maybe trying to ride, the popular wave, maybe overpromised and under-delivered quite a bit, and that's one of the things that's chafing people when you're all over the news, it's on my desk, we're going to be releasing it, Alina Haba, I have the records, and then it comes out, well, there's nothing. Well, that's the kind of thing that makes people feel like you're covering something up.
Right. It could be a simple case of they jumped into something that they didn't understand. I don't think they realize how long we've been looking into this stuff, right? When I filed my original lawsuit to try to obtain some Epstein records via a civil case I'm involved, I want to say that was January 2017. Do you know how nice my hair looked? I mean, not to, you know, be glib when we're talking about a serious thing, but that was...
Wow, Mike. Wow. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, Mike. Way to just be a joker about things that are serious.
I don't
serious,
have right? any. But, I don't even have any.
Man, man, right. And so you think, how long ago was 2017? I don't even want to look at pictures of myself from 2017. It depresses me. I go, where did that young man go? That's how long we've been on. It's 2025, almost a decade later. So people who weren't around with us jump in and talk out of pocket, not realizing, no, we've been thinking about this and going over it forever, for thousands of hours. And if you combine everybody on the internet, hundreds of thousands or millions of hours. And maybe they jumped into something that they didn't understand. But I can tell you that the reception from people like me, I would trust Cash Patel with my life. No cap, for real. And the same true about Gino. And if they called me up and said, there's a threat on your life, I would be gone in a second to a safe house, right? So where does that leave us? That's the big question. Is it Pam Bondi, who maybe doesn't know what she's doing and is getting steamrolled? Because let's not, you know, I don't want to be sexist or anything. She's very attractive. She's also, you would never guess, 60 years old, right? And that generation is much more trusting of institutions and maybe deferential to the institutions. Because I know that if you were the attorney general, or even Matt Gaetz, if he had been attorney general, we would say, why is it that James Comey's daughter always seems to be in the middle of this, right? Maybe we ought to not have a Comey in the middle of this. And that of course would be a question, but not someone that Pam Bondi or someone of that era might necessarily ask.
Mike, I don't get the impression that Trump's base is going to let this go. And I got the impression, it's certainly off that answer he gave today, that he wants them to let this go. Why are we still talking about this? We have the Texas floods. And I don't think this is something they're just going to let go. And it really seems like they want us to let it go.
Yeah, I didn't understand Trump's reaction to that either, other than maybe he doesn't understand how big of a deal it is to people, because there's always different ways to interpret it. My view of it, to back down what a lot of people say, is that's not Trump's thing. Trump was never implicated in the files. In fact, he was asked, the witnesses were asked and victims were asked about Trump, and they all said he was never down there. Trump kicked Epstein out of his club for creeping on a member's daughter. So we know it isn't Trump and his own self-preservation doing this, right? But why does he want people to move on? Especially here's something that I can't get over. You can pull up the Wall Street Journal article on this, where in an email to Peter Thiel, and we can imagine that there were many other emails like this sent, Reid Hoffman was trying to make introductions for Jeffrey Epstein and to take people to the island. So we know for a fact that Reid Hoffman, funder of the E. Joan Carroll, remember that case in New York, where Trump is suddenly accused of something from 40 years ago that nobody credible or rational really thinks is happening. He has a show trial in New York. So why hasn't Trump battered Reid Hoffman over the head with this? Doesn't add up, does it? Right? I mean, imagine one of your worst enemies, the funders of Lawfare, the pusher of all the Russiagate hoaxes, somebody trying to destroy your reputation. I mean, what Trump was accused of falsely, in my view, terrible stuff, right? And Reid Hoffman funded all of this. So why is Trump never mentioned that once? Why does Trump not beat Reid Hoffman over the head with that? I don't know, man. That's a big question that there's no answer that I have. I certainly don't have an answer to that.
I don't have an answer to it either, Mike. Whatever, brother. Come back soon. I'll have even less hair then. I appreciate it. All right. Savannah Hernandez has lots of hair. We'll talk to her next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
At the Prairieland ICE Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas, 10 to 12 individuals dressed in black military-style clothing began shooting fireworks and engaging in acts of vandalism at the facility. And this was part of an organized attack. Today, my office has charged 10 individuals with 3 counts of attempted murder of a federal officer. Each of the 10 are also charged with 3 counts of discharging a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. Each of these defendants faces a mandatory prison term of 10 years and up to life in prison. It was a planned ambush with the intent to kill ICE corrections officers. Make no mistake, this was not a so-called peaceful protest. It was indeed an ambush.
I love fireworks. I already miss Independence Day. But that's actually not important. That's not what we need to talk about here. Joining me now, Savannah Hernandez, contributor for Turning Point USA. Savannah, do you love fireworks?
Absolutely, I do, Jesse.
Okay, good. All right, now what happened here?
Yeah, Jesse, you know, this is not surprising behavior at all. Unfortunately, the left wing has been emboldened for years at this point. Antifa has been emboldened for years. I mean, they've been attacking ICE facilities in Portland for the last month, to the point where you have residents that are now coming forward to sue the city because nobody is getting involved. Now we are seeing ICE agents being targeted at various facilities across the nation. And, you know, it's not surprising in the slightest, because if you take a peek at what has been going on regarding Democrats, their language, what they have allowed on the streets of this country, this is the type of behavior that people have gotten away with. They've been calling for violence against our federal officials, and they have been pushing back against these mass deportations. So, you know, it's really heartbreaking to see what is going on in the streets, quite frankly, right now, but not surprising.
Savannah, you spend a lot of time knee-deep in these protests with all these dirty street animals, but they've always been violent. I get that. And as you just pointed out, they've been terrorizing people for a while. They've killed people before. But an organized ambush with a dozen of these freaks seems like an escalation. I haven't seen something like that before from them. Have you?
Yes and no. I mean, I think what we're seeing now is we saw these exact same ambushes during BLM, right? We saw federal courthouses that were being firebombed, but now they're simply moving their attention to these ICE facilities. So we have seen these exact same tactics, but of course the focus has now changed to these ICE facilities, which is why it's so important for, you know, our federal officials to really bring down the hammer on these criminals who are coming in and targeting these ICE facilities, because I only do see this continuing to get worse. And ICE agents, unfortunately, and hopefully not, I hope this doesn't happen, but this could potentially lead to ICE agents, of course, being killed because of the amount of targeting that is continuing to happen. I mean, you even had Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, just yesterday going in and trying to impede, you know, ICE going in and trying to conduct these raids of criminals who should not be in this country.
It's not just happening in Los Angeles, speaking of protecting all the foreigners. It's happening in New York, where they're still giving out free stuff. Just how many illegals are still huddled up in these sanctuary places run by these dirtballs?
And you know, Jesse, I wish I could give you that number, but I unfortunately can't because all of these illegal immigrants are now being hidden. Now, I was recently in New York, and what is happening right now is the shelters are being shut down, and Roosevelt Hotel, which is one of those main processing centers, is completely empty for the first time since I've reported there since 2022. There was not one illegal immigrant standing outside. But what's happening is the city of New York just signed a $1 billion deal to now kind of just move those illegal immigrants into the homeless shelter, which, by the way, receive federal funding. So this is for 86,000 people to receive these emergency shelters. In January of this year, Eric Adams was stating that you still had 51,000 illegal immigrants that were utilizing city shelters. So, you know, we're not going to get those exact numbers because, unfortunately, sanctuary cities across the United States of America are still hiding illegal immigrants in plain sight. And now, instead of using the taxpayer dollars in New York to house these people in free hotel rooms, they're taking federal funding from people all across the United States of America to hide them in homeless shelters. And even further, Jesse, these homeless services have told their employees that they cannot allow ICE into the facilities, that ICE detainers are not enough to grant them access to facilities, and it is illegal for them to share the immigration status of their clients.
Savannah, maybe you can lay this out for me. What happened to Eric Adams? Eric Adams, I know he's not on our side, but started cozying up to Trump. Some FBI charges went away. He's selling himself right now as the anti-Mandani, and all that stuff's fine. But are they doing this behind his back or with his permission?
I think that the Trump administration knows what's going on. And hopefully, you know, what my hope for this is after this big, beautiful bill passed and we did get that funding for the mass deportations, my hope is that New York will allow ICE to come in and, you know, enact its job and conduct these raids. But what's happening is you have such an infiltration through all of the various organizations and city-run programs in New York that they're essentially ignoring the federal government. They're going to ignore whatever Eric Adams says. At the end of the day, he's still an open border sanctuary city Democrat. So he's going to allow these officials to, you know, circumvent our federal laws and not work with ICE and DHS.
All right, let's shift gears and talk about the absolute horror going on in Kerrville, Texas. I understand you have some knowledge on all that.
Yes, Jesse. So I was on the ground yesterday, and that's where my focus has been. So I was up there and, you know, I just want to start off with some good news because this has been such a heavy subject for the people of Texas. But just to start us off with some good news, we have had 850 people that have since been rescued. I was at the donation centers up in Kerrville, and they have received so many donations from all across Texas that they're actually oversupplied, and they're now having to rent out warehouses to send those supplies to. And this is happening in both the Kerrville area and then also various counties in Austin. So many people in Texas donating to help out these efforts. Regarding what, you know, I saw on the ground, absolutely horrifying situation. You have those major floods that have at this point killed 108 people, including 30 children. Really heartbreaking to witness. I was speaking to some residents on the ground who were there during those floods. Luckily, the resident I spoke to's home was on a hill. She stated that the flood waters rose so quickly that they were reaching almost the top of the trees. You know, initial reports stating that those floodwaters rose about 26, 30 feet in just 45 minutes. So complete devastation up there. And a lot of these donation centers now asking for monetary support. They've received so many supplies that they are helping, of course, the residents that need it. But now they need those monetary donations because the next natural progression of this cleanup is going to be removing all of the cars, the mattresses that are currently stuck in trees, all of the debris on the roads. So we were seeing both, you know, state and, of course, a lot of locals helping with this devastating the flood and the aftermath.
Good grief. Savannah, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And first of all, before we get to the hero, one of the many heroes in Texas, maybe you are interested in giving some monetary support to help people recover there. GiveSendGo.com/Texas Flood Relief Fund. All right, GiveSendGo.com/Texas Flood Relief Fund. Is a place where you can go. There are other places as well, wonderful places, but that's one of the places you can go if there's something you want to give to help out. Okay, now let's talk about Scott Ruskin. And there are still a lot of heroes in America.
The Coast Guard launched us and decided to send a rescue crew from Air Station Corpus Christi at about 6:30, 7 a.m. on Friday, the 4th of July. I got on scene, boots on the ground at Camp Mystic, kind of discovered I was the only person there. As far as like first responders go. So yeah, I had about 200 kids mostly, all scared, terrified, cold, having probably the worst day of their life, and I just kind of needed to triage them, get them to a higher level of care, and get them off the flood zone with a lot of the US 60 Army helicopters. Now I was kind of the main guy as far as like grabbing people, usually like 15 to 10 kids at a time, maybe one adult with them, and bringing them over to those 60s and getting them to a different LZ that was kind of safe and had more first responders than just myself out there. When I got on scene, there was 200 kids looking to someone for some sort of comfort and safety. They don't really know what my experience is or my rank or my age. They just know, hey, this guy's a professional and he's here to help us, and I kind of had to live up to that standard. But yeah, the real heroes, I think, were the kids on the ground. Like, those guys are heroic, and they were dealing with some of the worst times of their lives, and they were staying strong, and that helped inspire me to kind of get in there and help them out.
And the kids too, like, they're being so brave and tough, and like, I know there's a lot of them I was able to kind of like get hands on with. And if you guys, seriously, like, you guys were the best. Like, I'm sorry this happened to you guys, but you guys were so brave and tough, and it made me like a better rescuer because you guys were acting so bravely. I'm just a person, right? I'm just a guy. I'm just a dude. I chose to enlist in the Coast Guard. Anyone is able to do this. Anyone's able to do this job if you raise your right hand, do it. So I'm just happy I was given the opportunity to help these people out.
Passing off the credit. It wasn't me, it was the kids. Just happy to be here. Some really wonderful people still in this country. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.